Our concept of medicine in America and the way it's delivered is pretty well entrenched. We go seek the medical help. It only comes to us in emergencies. But physicians do travel to provide medical services and in some cases travel very long distances. Ashland MD Teresa Chan practices in Medford. She's a family practice physician. She recently returned from a trip to the Philippines to help educate midwives in very remote areas. Dr. Chan is back past the jet lag and here to tell us about her experiences. Thanks so much for joining us, Teresa Chan.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a bit about how long you've been practicing medicine.
Oh, gosh. I'm approaching my 10th year in practice.
And what attracted you to medicine in the first place?
It's funny, I didn't have a childhood vocation for medicine. I wanted to be a writer, but as I evolved into a psychology major and then interested in cognitive neuroscience, that's how I started taking pre-med classes, and the next thing you know, I was a doctor.
Well, getting to blog about your work in the Philippines seems to fulfill some of your unquenched thirst for writing, it would seem.
Yes, I believe I volunteered to write the blog. We were doing a lot of different bits of work here and there throughout my time in the Philippines, and writing a blog post came up, and I signed right up for that.
And the blog posts appear not only on your website, but also through Project Hope, which is where you've been doing this. Tell us about getting engaged with Project Hope in the first place and how you made that connection.
One of my friends who works in the Rogue Valley emergency room, her name is Corey Kahn. She'd worked with Project Hope several times, going with them to Haiti in the aftermath of the earthquake. And so she recommended them as an organization to work with. And actually, she was the one who first signed up to provide disaster aid in the Philippines after the typhoon. So inspired by her example, I signed up. We weren't able to go in early December, which we'd hoped to be able to do, and so I knew Project Hope was having several rotations, and I said I would sign up for the one at the end of January, and so in the end, I was the one who got to go.
So the Typhoon Haiyan?
Haiyan, yes, yeah. Known as Yolanda in the Philippines.
I noticed that. It's got a different name in the Philippines.
It probably has something to do with political correctness and not naming typhoons after women, but they call it Yolanda. I have to keep it straight in my mind.
Interesting, but by either name, it was highly destructive, somewhere yes. North of 5,000 deaths, is that right, from the typhoon?
Yeah, something in that range. I think we heard mostly about Tacloban and the easternmost regions. But I was located in the central part of the Philippines, where it was also hard hit, but not as widely covered in the news.
So when you were setting up to go there, you mentioned that you couldn't go in December. So, I mean, obviously it's going to take a long time to recover from this typhoon, but it was a typhoon relief effort thing that you were interested in doing?
That's what I thought I would do. I was open to doing whatever work was available. I figured, you know, when there is a disaster, you don't really choose your assignment. You go and you do what needs to be done. What happened is that Project Hope sent in three-week rotations of various doctors, nurses, and other healthcare staff. And what they discovered was that the people in the area, in the central Philippines where we were, in Tapaz, that they were recovering quite quickly from the typhoon itself. Of course, there's infrastructure damage, but the actual healthcare needs people were recovering from rather nicely. So they decided to switch missions, and instead of focusing upon disaster aid, they moved towards doing recovery projects, projects that we could leave behind after they stop the deployment there.
That's a pretty nimble shift, it seems like, to be able to go from, okay, we're not really needed for disaster relief now, so let's move on to this other thing, and it becomes more of a preventive medicine sort of thing, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's funny, my experience of it was not nimble because we were the first rotation making this shift. So the first three rotations of doctors and nurses were doing big outreach clinics, so they'd go remotely and see 400, 600 people at a time in a tent, which is what I thought I'd be doing. When we got there, there were no such outreaches scheduled. We did see patients at the central clinic and hospital, but most of the time we were designing educational programs.
And you're taking these to very remote areas, as I understand.
We were actually lucky to visit some of the remotest areas. The Philippine Army got wind of the idea that we were interested in seeing some of these areas, so they dropped us by helicopter on top of a mountain in a village that's only accessible by foot. It's about This is one of the nearer ones. It's about 3 to 4 hours of walking from the center of town.
Wow. So getting a lift by helicopter made a huge difference in your ability just to get there.
Yes. I'm not sure if I would have survived the walk. It was a hot day. But yes, there are actually some villages that are as far as like 8 hours of walking. I hear this from the midwives who really provide most of the primary care to these remote areas. And they take it in turn to walk 8 hours up the mountain, stay in a village for a couple of days, walk another 3 hours to another village, et cetera, for a week out of every month.
Wow, so they really put a bunch of miles on their bodies, really, because there's no vehicles to get them around.
Absolutely not. They're walking. They're hiking.
Dr. Teresa Chan is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She recently returned from a tour of duty in the Philippines with Project Hope. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions or comments. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. How long have many of these midwives been practicing in the area and helping women give birth?
Well, I think the midwife who'd been longest in service had been doing it for 23 years. So at various times when we were teaching classes to the midwives, we'd have over 100 years worth of midwifery experience in that room. It was really humbling and wonderful.
And how up to date is the knowledge they have? I don't know if anybody's been visiting with them recently. Project Hope had done an earlier rotation, or Doctors Without Borders, or any one of a number of different groups had been up there to help them improve their skills. But I mean, what did you find as to be the overall level of care they could give?
To my knowledge, no one else had actually recently been out there to interview the midwives. I think they're very skilled in providing traditional labor support. They don't have a lot of infrastructure like IV pumps, et cetera, to provide augmentation of labor with, like, Pitocin, for example. But they are very knowledgeable. They understand about pregnant women's needs and what it is to give birth. Most women had very successful deliveries, at least by their report. What we taught them to do was to suture obstetrical lacerations. And without going into gory detail, it's a source of postpartum or post-birth bleeding. And it was something that they were particularly interested in learning. So once we polled all of them, that's the class we put together.
I mean, so are there issues then that are pretty much standard in Western medicine? I mean, that you practice every day, that they were just like, oh, you do what?
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, as I said, there's... I think the lesson that I learned in the Philippines was how poor the infrastructure was before the typhoon hit. And it was patched back together in relatively short order. But when we got there, there's a lot of examples of, for example, no IV pumps. The hospital itself is pretty rudimentary, built probably in the 40s and using equipment from the 50s. And so when it came to providing childbirth care, you know, it probably their facilities date back to that era, so there aren't a lot of options for women. There's no anesthesia, for example. This district hospital does not have an operating room, so in those occasional cases when a woman needed a cesarean section, she had to be driven an hour and a half in one direction or another. So those kinds of things. And then the midwives were not really empowered to do this simple skills that most midwives in the U.S. perform, such as suturing. And so we were working with the doctors who supervise them to give them a little more support and to help them get their confidence back in their skills.
Were there any cultural barriers, you know, some sense of either, you know, doctors do this, nurses don't, midwives don't, or you know, men do this, women don't?
I think there is a certain, like, very strictly hierarchical idea of how healthcare is provided. So doctors are very much authority figures there. And so most of the ideas had to at least appear to come from me or Dr. Ruth Hart, who was the other physician on our team. However, at least in our view, in our Western view, midwives really should be the ones doing simple suturing because then they can own the experience, the entire experience from the woman in labor to the woman in recovery, and not have to transfer her care to a doctor when, for example, she should be initiating breastfeeding.
So. Grab your headphones. We have a phone call for you. Dr. Teresa Chan is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She just got back from rotation in the Philippines helping midwives learn some new skills. And here is Mark in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. The question is, does Project Hope have any religious affiliation?
No, they do not. They are It's an organization that started, I believe, in 1958. They were originally partnered with the U.S. Navy. The Navy set up basically an old ship, turned it into a hospital, and positioned it at various points around the world to provide aid. But no, unlike a lot of overseas organizations providing aid, there is no religious affiliation.
This has got to be fairly hard work. I mean, did you work pretty long days? And I imagine the weather and the humidity and things were took a little getting used to after coming out of a fairly dry, at that time, Southern Oregon winter.
Well, you know, our hours depended upon the kind of work we were doing that day. The day we went and visited the really remote mountain village went on forever. And then preparation for a couple of our classes took about 18 hours because we were producing all of our teaching materials on a single inkjet printer, you know, the kind that goes... Exactly, and prints one page at a time. So printing out handouts for a 17-person class took, 8.5 hours. If you factor in, like, the rolling blackouts and, you know, every so often the cellular Wi-Fi would just die. And I did not know I would be doing so much writing, so I only brought an iPad mini with a Bluetooth keyboard. So, but we managed. We managed.
You learned how to be resilient, it sounds like, and figure out workarounds.
Well, I'm pretty good at working around anyway, but I have to say that part of my motivation in going on this trip was to test, you know, my own tolerance for different living conditions. I like to joke around that I'm a Chinese-American princess. You know, I like climate control. So in the Philippines, yes, it was humid all the time, and I was sticky. I felt sticky for 3 consecutive weeks. I slept outdoors in a tent because it was hot inside the house. And I bathed in well water out of a bucket. So, you know, I think I showed my mettle to some degree, and I was pretty pleased with that part of it.
I did read some of your blog stuff and your tweets and some other materials that came from that trip. Not liking the mosquitoes much, I understand.
Oh, well, the mosquitoes loved me. I think of the 6 of us on this rotation, the rest of them all together had maybe 6 bites for the entire 3 weeks, and at any given moment, I had 6 active bites on my body. So,
all right, so you could just sort of rotate them around. And these are the 6 I have at the moment, yes.
Right, exactly. This is fresh. That one's resolving.
So as hard as the conditions could be, and some long days, and obviously you had to be able to work around some obstacles, I mean, was the work refreshing or renewing in some ways?
I think it was good for me. It was definitely refreshing and renewing for me. I knew, again, my motivation was complicated, but my motivation in going was also to get another perspective on healthcare and also another perspective on the world. I find that when I travel, I always come back with a new respect for how other people live and a better understanding of living in the U.S. and what our democracy is like. So many other countries struggle with their democracies, and we certainly struggle with ours. But yes, I learned a lot about all of those things.
Did you come back with a renewed spirit at work here? I mean, and new things that you wanted to try out?
You know, I don't have a lot of ideas of new things to try out. I'm really very surprised at myself how, you know, not difficult it was to reintegrate with the kind of work I do, which is very different. Over there, I was doing maternal and child health, and here I am largely involved with the care of hospitalized adults. I am struck very much by how much we have and how little other parts of the world have. I think I've already described the hospital in the Philippines where we did our work, and compared to our hospital at Rogue Regional, you know, it's night and day. I ask myself every time I'm at work, is it worse there in the Philippines? Are people's lives worse? And I don't know if they're... Their living conditions are worse, but I don't think they're unhappy. And we confront a lot of unhappiness in our emergency at Rogue. So anyway, I haven't resolved that question yet.
Do you feel like you accomplished what you set out to do there? I mean, when you were leaving, did you think like, oh boy, if only I could have done X more, you know, whatever the X is?
Well, you know, I think we all were ready to go home at the end of 3 weeks. But at the same time, I remember about 4 days before I was supposed to leave, I was thinking, I wish I could stay longer. We have this very promising program to support and empower the midwives to take a larger role in the care of women in the Tapaz area. And if I could just stay longer. And I bet you everyone feels this way when they do work like this. You know, you feel like you're there forever. You want to go home. And then at the end, you think, oh, if I could stay longer, I could do this. We could really turn this into something.
Did you make some lifelong friends through the Project Hope trip to the Philippines?
I did. The people of the Philippines, they're wonderful. They were warm and nearly killed us with kindness, especially because they fed us every 5 seconds. I was one of the designated eaters in any social situation, so I can speak to that. But yes, we got very close to a class of public health nurses who were just getting started and beginning their deployment, and they will be among the staff walking up into the mountains, and also their midwives. And we had Philippine Army officers as our security detail, so they're all friends on Facebook now.
What's next? Would you do a trip like this again? Do you anticipate doing future work for Project Hope? And would it be back in the Philippines or someplace else?
You know, I am planning. I mean, this was such a good experience for me that I am planning to do some other kind of medical aid work internationally in the future. I've read other doctors' stories about how they build it into their careers, that periodically they leave whatever practice they're in and go and do some work. Project Hope has a maternal and child health program in the Dominican Republic I'm interested in. I think, as much as I love the Philippines, I don't speak the language. To do some work someplace where I speak a little bit of the language, I think would enhance my experience a lot.
All right. We hope to talk to you again when you come back from the Dominican Republic at some point in the future.
We'd love to.
Dr. Teresa Chan is an MD in family practice in Medford and just came back from a trip to the Philippines with Project Hope. Thank you so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
Bottom of the hour on the Jefferson Exchange, GMO, the next topic after Garrison Keillor.